Good Friday morning. I am Dr. Ackerley, the Morning Voice Friday host. We have four other hosts. We have Lydia Ronda on Monday, Ted Maxwell on Tuesday, our friend Grant Kruger on Wednesday, and Tom Moulton on Thursday. And on Friday, we talk success in the first hour and wonder in the second hour. We talk about the good things going on at the University of Arizona. Speaking of which, Matt, you and I are going to a football game tomorrow, aren't we?
Going to a football game, going to a tailgate.
Going to tailgate.
We're
going to
be
first
at Bear Down Field just north of the stadium. Yeah, Oklahoma State.
I'll be there.
First game of the Big 12 conference season at home in Arizona for us. They lost last week to Iowa State. So they're going to go at it with Oklahoma State, which is not having a particularly good spot right now. So hopefully the Cats
Is Nick Saban coming to the sidelines to see if he wants to coach at Oklahoma State?
I did not know that.
The rumor is that they have interviewed him or are thinking to interview him.
So. I didn't know they had that deep of pockets over in Tulsa, but that's interesting.
Well, maybe the
for the school, you know.
Maybe the Aflac commercials are not paying as well as we thought, or the Vrbo commercials or whatever.
You got that.
Yeah, so I'm looking forward to tomorrow. It's going to be a little toasty. I'm right in the sun the whole time, but it'll be fun. Enjoy and looking forward to it. And I'll see you at the tailgate early in the morning, so
thanks,
that'll be
stop
fun.
By and meet the listeners. And
I shall.
And the listeners can meet the Morning Voice hosts, hopefully. Yeah.
With me in studio is Brother Bill Ackerley. Good morning, Bill.
Good morning.
You're here with one of our special friends and guests, Steve Anderson. Steve Anderson acting, and good morning to you, Steve.
Good morning. Thanks for having me.
So let's get started off by just telling us a little bit about you and your background, where you went to school, your acting experience, and why the heck you're in Tucson, Arizona as an actor.
Well, I was born, how far back should we go?
Yeah.
My journey sort of began in college. That's where I discovered theater. That was back in Wisconsin. I'm a Green Bay boy.
Oh, yeah.
The Packer fans out there.
Way to go, Bart Starr. He's an Arizona guy too.
I still remember what his house looked like.
Yeah, he lived up in Phoenix for a while before he passed.
Yeah, he had a star in his window actually, which told people on the outside that if you're in trouble, this is a place you can go to for help.
Very cool. Very cool.
Yeah, very
neat,
interesting.
Neat guy. Yeah.
Yeah. In college, I discovered theater. That was at the University of Wisconsin, Eau Claire. And then I went to grad school at Brandeis University out in Boston.
Mm-hmm.
Did a little bit of off-Broadway, a little regional theater. And then on my way out to Los Angeles, I did a residency at Clemson University teaching.
Mm-hmm.
Teaching is always something I wanted to do.
Right.
Spent a few years in Los Angeles, did some theater there, did a film there. Back to Wisconsin. To restore an old theater and do some more teaching. And then an opportunity came up here with a group called Arts for All.
Right.
I took that job and came here to work with kids with disabilities.
That's very cool.
And that was a beautiful experience. We did mixed ability casting.
Mm-hmm.
I still remember very well adapting Where the Wild Things Are. And Our Town, we did that as well. Very proud of that work.
Yeah.
A lot of people think mixed ability casting doesn't work, but if you have a stage with people who are blind, people who are deaf, people who are in wheelchairs, there's sign language going on and things like that, it really can be a beautiful
You make it work.
Experience. Yeah.
Everybody's got an actor in them somewhere, probably, and so you got to bring that out. So, speaking of directing plays like that, you're an award-winning director. What are some of the projects you've worked on, and like those that have made them special?
From there, I sort of shifted over to film because I was teaching some teens, and they were way more into film than they were into theater. But a couple of those projects that I'm pretty proud of. One is a short film called The Secret Lives of Teachers, which was really quirky and unique, two different styles. It shifted as the film went on, as two people fell in love because of a shared hobby, which was Civil War history. Two people who are in no way alike other than that came together. And that was really nice. It had a nice long festival run. I think you can still see that on Shorts TV, maybe, or Indie Flicks.
Mm-hmm.
Another one is Room 107, which is about a girl who was trafficked. I tend to like things that have some kind of a social, right, you know, value or message to it. And that film premiered at Dances with Films in New York, and it played here at the Arizona International Film Festival as well. Mm-hmm. And we won the Sam Pulido Award for Best Arizona Short.
That's great. And
that one, I would just say I really love the film. It's beautifully done. But the more important thing is if even one teenager and their parents come away from it thinking a little bit more about the dangers of trafficking and how these people pull that off out there, then I feel like it's a real success.
Our guest this morning on The Morning Voice is Steve Anderson of Steve Anderson Acting. So that voice you're hearing is that mellow tones of a great Southern Arizona actor. Bill, you had a question for
Steve? Steve, I've seen you work. I remember I was at an independent film meeting and you did a little presentation. And for me, it was like, wow, that was magic. You brought two actors up on the stage. They read a little scene and then with about two or three suggestions, you changed those kind of stiff actors into something that was really emotional. And what is the secret to that? To me, it's like a magic trick, but I'm sure it's more experience.
It feels magical for me, you know, mm-hmm. every time. I remember that well, actually.
Oh, yeah.
And in that case, it was a situation where actors were saying things,
right,
and thinking about how lines sounded rather than experiencing something. You know what I mean? So I think I gave the gal something about smell that right. you could get involved in.
I remember what you told the male actor. He said, you go into the Pima County Fair, what do you like out there? And he said, cotton candy.
Yeah.
And you said, when you address her, think of how delicious cotton mm-hmm. candy is. And it just changed the line completely.
Yeah, all of a sudden, because the thing about acting it, you know, we get a script in our hands, and now there's words.
Yeah.
And we don't do this in life. We don't think of our words before we say them. I didn't think of the words I just said before right. I said it. So sometimes words do get in the way, and we leave experiencing life, and we are just stuck with line readings, we call it.
Right.
Which is kind of the fakey, you know.
Yeah, right.
A piece of green seaweed, that kind of stuff, yeah.
Yeah. So a lot of it is about making a shift into what acting is really about. There's a big difference between showing something or indicating something and experiencing something and trusting your director or trusting that the camera's going to get it, right?
Right, right.
As soon as we start pushing too much, you know, suddenly we're just not feeling very human.
Right.
So a lot of it is about reframing what acting really is, which is not about showing. It's more like inviting somebody to view your private life and they can watch if they want.
You know? It can be about observing too.
Exactly. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Outward focus is really huge. If you're not seeing, touching, tasting, hearing, smelling, you're just not human. That's how we operate.
Right.
We're always responding to things, you know, that are outside of us. And unfortunately, some actors are focused too much this way.
Yeah.
If we can get our focus go in the other direction, you know, usually we're in much better shape.
Speaking of words, scripts, and words on a page, Bill says you're working on a book called Advanced People Watching, a book for actors. Tell us a little bit about that book.
I was trying to figure out how to write a book about acting in a way that it hadn't been done before. And I was really struggling with it for years, actually. But I go out a lot. So you might see me at a coffee shop in town looking like I'm just reading my phone. But what I'm actually doing is I'm watching. I'm watching people. Damn. And a lot of actors are taught to do this. Go out and watch people. Mm-hmm. See how they actually behave when they don't know they're being watched. So it's a very different experience from going to see maybe a piece of theater or something. Mm-hmm. So the book is essentially going to be a series of those people observations and my notes on it. And if you really watch people, just for a few minutes even, you are seeing the work of an actor. You are seeing their intentions. You're seeing relationship. You're seeing backstory, motivation, movement, rhythm, all kinds of things.
Emotion,
mm-hmm. Impulses. I can see a relationship unfolding without hearing a word that they're saying. So it'll essentially be stories of things that I saw while I was out watching. And then below each one, there'll be an acting lesson or several.
This harkens back to my childhood memories when my dad was the general manager of a couple of radio stations. We had the youngest of seven. He would take the station wagon over to the local shopping mall, and we'd get a 5-cent ice cream cone from the Skaggs drugstore, of all places. and we would sit in the car, and guess what we would do? Our entertainment was to watch people walk by. And as the people walked down the sidewalk, you know, we just watch them and kind of observe what they were doing. And it was kind of a, sounds kind of pedestrian today, no pun intended, but it was unique. And, you know, you don't got a lot of kids, and you don't have a lot of money. You find fun things to do, and watching humans is kind of a fun thing to do. So
it's natural,
right?
You know, for us, my grandmother was a huge people watcher. Mm-hmm. She just loved to go out. That could have been what sort of hooked me in.
We kind of used to do that too. In that time in the 50s and 60s, sitting on the front porch, and the parents would watch the kids play in their yard, and other people would be out in their front yards. You know, I walk through my neighborhood full time. There's never anybody out in their space. They're all inside watching TV or doing something inside. But back, you know, in the 50s and 60s, it was all outside enjoyment, that kind of stuff. So.
Very true.
Well, let's take a quick break here, and we'll come back. We're our guest today on The Morning Voice is Steve Anderson of Steve Anderson Acting. We'll take a quick break and be back after a word from our great sponsors. You're listening to The Morning Voice. Welcome back to The Morning Voice. Our guest this morning is Steve Anderson. Steve Anderson is an actor, a coach, a teacher, all sorts of different things, an author now. Steve, you work with more than actors, yes, because you have such a varied background. The skills you teach can be used in other scenarios, like, for instance, one thing that's important, we were just talking about public speaking and how important that is. And you help prepare people for things like if you got a big board meeting coming up, or you got a presentation you got to give, or you have a courtroom appearance that you're not too sure about, then they can call you and you can help them with those things, right?
Yes, yes. It's fascinating how the work of an actor translates into public speaking, mm-hmm. or even a simple thing like I'm going into a business meeting.
Right.
And even though most human beings operate on intention, so you have some kind of a mission that you're on, which prompts you into action, a lot of times we kind of forget that.
Mm-hmm.
So even a simple element of actor training that helps with something like a business meeting, what is my real mission here? Mm-hmm. What is it that I'm trying to get when I go in there? And as long as that's really clear, most of the action that follows, you know, should be in alignment.
You kind of mentioned this when you were talking about acting. When you're giving a presentation and so forth, most of us who are nervous about getting up in front of a group of 1,000 people or five, I've done 5,000 people before, you do get a little bit nervous, and your focus is on yourself. The reality is, it's the person sitting in the audience that is the focus, or should be the focus, and it's really not about you, it's about them and their perspective.
Exactly.
And it's hard to teach that, but it does take a while to kind of figure out that framework.
Yeah, I actually have a really good exercise for that, and you are so right. You know, if you walk on stage to give a speech and your thinking is like, I hope they like me.
Right.
I hope this goes well for me.
Right.
And not, I want to get to know them. You know, it's a two-way. Mm-hmm. It's a two-way road.
And ask yourself, what are they going to get out of it?
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah.
But also the simple act of actually seeing them,
mm-hmm.
you know, versus looking toward them.
Right.
And we feel the difference. We mm-hmm. feel when you're actually taking us in. And it's so easy to get your head full of, what's my content?
Right.
But that's not how we judge a speaker.
Right.
We judge a speaker based on whether you like us, right. Usually.
I've been struggling with that eye contact thing for all the years I've been teaching, because sometimes, like you say, my head is crammed full of stuff I want to dump out onto the classroom floor, yet I don't look at the students sometimes, and I catch myself every once in a while. You know, you got to zero in on a couple of students.
It's very easy.
Yeah.
How many of them are looking at the their laptops and stuff.
I'm
too,
so captivating, Bill. I have to tell you, they are all over.
They wouldn't
us.
Dare. Yeah. But you know, there's another the little tricks that just get us back to feeling like we're human again. Mm-hmm. But, you know, if I was going to get up and give a speech, I might do something like just remember what freshly baked bread smells like.
Yeah.
Oh,
yeah.
I make bread at home. You know, and we all know that amazing smell.
Think
so I might take that
something
on.
Something comforting, right?
Yeah. And suddenly my body relaxes, my feet sink in just a little bit more.
Right.
And I see them with another layer of appreciation,
on
top of it.
You know, we have lots of people over the last almost 2 years now coming into the studio to do interviews with us here on The Morning Voice. And it is amazing to me. Some of them are very accomplished professionals, but they come in and they're shaking. They're nervous about being on the air, as they should be. I know the first 20 times I did television interviews, that stand-up and so forth. God, I used to just be sweating and nervous and everything. I've done it so many times now, it's not a big deal anymore. But how do you teach people to get over those nerves of standing up in front of people or coming into a studio and doing an interview? What's there some tricks?
It is a tricky one. And I would say just a little shout out to you. I see your years of experience. You're very relaxed and very grounded. You're not pushing anything or trying to.
I'm hungover from.
Now we know.
I got to write that down.
From the Arizona Sands Club. From the Arizona Sands Club pep rally last night. That's what I am. So.
I think first, one of the first things is just to acknowledge that this is an unusual thing.
Right.
So public speaking is, most people don't do it. You know, there's a reason they say it's the number one fear.
Right.
Right now, we're at a studio. I've got headphones on. I have notes here. This is very unusual.
Right.
You know?
You're not at a coffee shop just having a conversation with somebody.
Yeah. So accept that you're human. Mm-hmm. Accept that this is just a little bit different.
Right.
And then find a way to get back into your own humanity. So, for example, you had mentioned courtroom appearances.
Right.
Which can be incredibly nerve-wracking for some.
Right.
I coached somebody a few years ago who had a really important courtroom appearance. Mm-hmm. Someone in their life was in danger of going away, and they were not guilty. This person had a very serious mission about how they wanted to come off and be seen by the jury. And this person tends to be a little harsh, kind of a little hard and hard forehead kind of a feeling. So we worked on very simple things, such as what's your relationship to the place that you're in? Where are you most comfortable? And all of a sudden, that courtroom became her daughter's bedroom. That carpeting, smell, her relationship with the daughter. Now she's seeing an attorney who she might not have liked as someone she can really care about.
Interesting.
And we brought her center from her head, she's very much an intellectual, down into her heart, and then attach smells to people and anything to get to that place where you're experiencing.
Interesting.
And the time will fly, because things smell good.
Right. I should have called you. I did a federal case where I was an expert witness my role as a U of A marketing professor. They wanted to know some values of being on, national network news and so forth. And man, I was there to help. I was there to lend some credence to what has been written down on some papers. You'd have thought I was on trial. And I was for the defense. I was working for the defense. And boy, that prosecutor, she put me on trial. Like, my degree, what is your degree? What is your teaching experience? How come you think you're an expert in all this stuff? And man, talk about being uncomfortable. I would never do that again. I would go in prepared the next time.
An interesting tip that just hit me related to that. If you're being grilled, for example, and it feels like your body is wanting to tense up, you can literally imagine the words, that person's resonance or their vibration coming into you. And whatever the words are, the sound can feel good. Mm-hmm. Sound alone can trigger something like good breathing. Mm-hmm. Like right now, I can let my belly relax, let my butt spread out on the chair just a little bit. So what normally would cause anxiety, I can turn that around and turn it into something that will actually help me relax and feel more at peace.
Yeah. Eventually, the judge just called it and said, let's stop this. Dr. Ackley, thank you so much for your coming today, but I think we're through here. And they moved on, and he did not win the case, and was not helpful at all, but that's pretty amazing. So,
so Steve, when you're speaking publicly, a lot of people will use verbal crutches like, I mean, that kind of thing. Is there a way to correct that if you have those bad habits?
Trying to remember if I've done that today.
I don't think so. I don't think so.
It's one of the most common things. And sometimes it's okay, especially if you're French. And we love that.
Oh, yeah.
The French, how they always fill this space. But for me, I would say an or an is a response to discomfort, the discomfort of quiet. Mm-hmm. So practice listening, because it's very hard to hear while you're saying and accept that quiet can be a very good thing. It can be powerful. So for example, if I say something to you and watch it land, rather than say something to you as I come up with my next thing.
Right.
Nobody is worried about that moment of quiet. In fact, it can add a lot of power.
Right.
So another way to reframe it is that by allowing for some quiet, we're taking some power back. Some of the most powerful people in the room are the ones who aren't talking.
Steve Anderson, thank you so much for the good tips. We'll have you back. We appreciate all you do for the community. Steve Anderson from Steve Anderson Acting. You're listening to The Morning Voice. And our guests this morning are Madison Edwards, Membership and Community Engagement Rep, and Valerie Finelli, Brandon Creative Marketing Manager. Both of them are from Hughes Federal Credit Union. Good morning to both of you.
Good morning.
Thank you so much firsthand. A point of personal privilege. Just want to thank Hughes Federal Credit Union for sponsoring Wonder on Morning Voice. So you guys help us spread the good news about the things going on at the University of Arizona. So we thank you for all you do for the community, but specifically what you do here for the U of A and for the Morning Voice. So thank you for that. Speaking of the University of Arizona, you guys have partnerships with lots of different community organizations, and one big one is a partnership that you have with the University of Arizona, and that's part of your mission. Can you tell us a little bit about that, Valerie?
Yeah, absolutely. For more than 73 years, we've been committed to being a dedicated financial partner in Tucson. Supporting the University of Arizona and sponsoring U of A athletics allows us to celebrate local pride in our community, and we love supporting programs that inspire teamwork and education. We are also investing directly in the future of the student athletes and those students in our community.
Yeah, you have a great presence on campus. You have a great presence in athletics. And of course, people like me carry around a debit card with the Arizona logo on it. And you've had a relationship with the coaches over the years as well. So it's been a really good synergistic relationship with the University of Arizona. Good for the U of A, but it's also good for building that community relationships that you've done for so many years, 73
Absolutely.
Years. Right?
Well, you know, we're home of the official Arizona Athletics debit card. So we love to see those debit cards in the hands of students, alumni, and the community all the time.
You know, I'm an economic development guy. I say that's one of the ways that we solve all of the community problems that we have of streets and parks and roads and things like that, police, and using those debit cards, man, using them and generating activity in the economic front is really an important thing. So Arizona Athletics is an important part of life in Tucson. It's probably the biggest thing in the middle of Tucson that most people, I often say that when Lute was the basketball coach, you'd fly into New York and get off and get into a taxi, and the person would say, "Where are you from?" And I'd say, "Well, I'm from Tucson, Arizona." Lute Olson, you know, basketball,
yep.
You know. And so we're still kind of that way with Tommy Lloyd and the new women's basketball coach, and of course, Brent Brennan and the football team and so forth. So athletics is a huge part of life in Tucson. How is Hughes involved in supporting student athletes on campus?
Yes, so we support our student athletes because we're committed to the community and the tradition of excellence that Arizona Athletics strives for. We want them to achieve both athletic and academic success. And so Hugh supports over 20 Arizona athletic teams and the University of Arizona. We're super proud to do that. We have also been the title sponsor of Arizona Women's Athletics for more than 17 years. We love watching these programs continue to grow and seeing the amazing fan support behind them.
It's been kind of interesting over the last, say, year and a half as the NIL program kicks in and corporations and businesses and organizations can now directly fund some of the athletes. It's been an interesting transition, and some of the major sports like baseball and basketball and football and women's sports specifically, how it's grown. Just in general, the WNBA is just phenomenal growth in women's attention. And certainly, if you've been following women's basketball on campus, you've seen them go from just a couple hundred people in the stands to, you know, half full, which is pretty big for a 5,000 or 6,000 or 8,000 people going to the women's basketball games. And you guys are a big part of that, and that's an important thing. You also have Kid Cats, which is an important part of athletics. Tell us a little bit about the Kid Cats program.
Yes, that is one of the ways we like to stay involved in supporting student athletes. It's the official kids club of Arizona Athletics for grades K through 8. So kids who open a Hughes Youth account for $5 get a free Kids Cat membership, which gives them tickets to select Arizona home games, exclusive event invites, and Arizona swag. And the great thing about this is opening a youth account helps kids learn how to save, spend, and manage their money from an early age. It also sets them up with good financial habits they can carry into adulthood, because you can never start too early with getting your kids prepared for financial success.
You know, I tell my students at the University of Arizona to take 10% of their income right now while they're in college, and then as they move through their young adult life into careers, take 10% and put it away and don't touch it. And in 20, 30 years, they could be a millionaire by just letting that compound interest work for them. And this is a good lesson to teach these young people that are part of the Kid Cats program, to get them understanding how to manage their money. And not just because they get it all, spend it all, but get it and save it and save it at Hughes Federal Credit Union. That's a good place to save it. Our guests for this morning's success are Madison Edwards of Membership and Community Engagement Rep and Valerie Finelli, Brand and Creative Marketing Manager. Both of them from Hughes Federal Credit Union, and both graduates of the University of Arizona.
Absolutely. Woo-hoo. Bear down.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. What was your degree when you were at
Media Arts.
Media Arts.
Yes.
So, yeah, and you were too, right? You were film, radio, and television.
Yes, film and television, minor in journalism.
Right. Mm-hmm. So you guys were on the south side of the tunnel.
yes.
I taught in that department for, goodness gracious, about 30 years. And then when I became a career faculty person at the Eller College, I had to give up something. I had to give up that class. But that's the class.
And you were my professor.
That's where I met you. That's where I met you.
Full
was in
circle.
That. Yeah. You know, we as Wildcats, we love to show our school pride. We love to be alumni. And how does Hughes help people show their spirit for the University of Arizona?
Well, Hughes is home of the official Arizona Athletics debit card. We offer exclusive debit card designs featuring the Block A, the Wildcat, and football and basketball inspired cards. These cards are issued instantly at any of our branch locations, and it's just a really fun way for fans, alumni, and students to show their school spirit every day.
This is a pretty exciting thing for people, I bet, to kind of have their U of A card. And certainly when they're around town at restaurants and so forth, and they pull out their U of A branded card, it's kind of neat for them to do that. But I guess it's also probably pretty cool when they're out on the road traveling and they pull out their card and they see that Block A, or they see Tommy Lloyd's picture or basketball picture or something, and they say, wow, we love the University of Arizona.
Absolutely. People see my card and they say, bear down right away.
Right. You know, So you're a recent graduate of the University of Arizona, but Valerie, you've been out for a few years. And as we move away from the education that we have, it becomes more and more important that connection with the University of Arizona and our education begins to take on we're less worried about grade point average and all the things that go into being a student, and more about community pride and developing a powerful relationship through the Alumni Association and other things. And Hughes has been a good conduit for people to kind of have that connection and carry it around in their wallet and in their purse and,
absolutely.
And have that University of Arizona pride going on. Mm-hmm. Well, that's a great relationship. How long has, do you know how long that the Hughes has had that relationship with U of A?
Well, we've been the women's title sponsor for over 17 years. So
it's
a couple decades, absolutely. Yeah.
And you kind of were at the forefront of this because, you know, as college sports evolve from just being, basically generated by the athletic department and you go to the games and you pay your ticket price and you go see. Now it's evolved into a big, big, big commerce thing for raising money for the department. And now you go to events and there's advertising and yes. sponsorships and ticket sales and all that stuff, which are pretty major. But you were in on the forefront of that in the beginning.
Yes, we have been.
And have maintained that solid relationship with the University of Arizona in athletics. And certainly athletics is like the hallmark. There's a lot of interesting research and great things going on, and that's what Wonder is. The second hour is about Wonder and the good things going on at the U of A. But certainly athletics is the front porch of the University of Arizona. It is the thing that gets the most visibility of all the things that are go on at the U of A. I help, you guys help the University of Arizona marching band, 300 students that are out there playing their hearts out at football games and basketball games, both men's and women's basketball games. It's an important part of building this community that we have and the pride of, and we have no major baseball in town anymore. And so this is an important part of the community development that Hughes has helped us with. So
and even though we're the women's title sponsor, we definitely support, obviously, basketball, football, baseball, and we're a part of those sports as well.
Right. And it's that's kind of neat. And the students that come to the University of Arizona, some 40, 50,000 strong, they get affiliated with the debit card and being part of Hughes while they're here on campus. And some stay, some go, but those that stay certainly want to have that big A, block A in there. Well, let's take a quick break. We'll come back after a few great words from Hughes Federal Credit Union and some of our other sponsors. This is The Morning Voice. Our guests for success this morning are Madison Edwards, Membership and Community Engagement Rep, and Valerie Finelli, Brand and Creative Marketing Manager. Both of them are from our great sponsor, Hughes Federal Credit Union, and we are talking about their wonderful relationship with the University of Arizona. And of course, they are a major sponsor of our Wonder program. Every Friday from 8 to 9, we talk about the good things going on at the University of Arizona. You're listening to The Morning Voice. I'm Dr. Ackerley. That's Valerie Finelli. That's Madison from the University of Arizona. You get to say you're a Bear Down alum, and that's pretty cool. So
That's definitely.
Good morning and welcome back to The Morning Voice. Our guests for success on The Morning Voice today are Madison Edwards, Membership and Community Engagement Rep, and Valerie Finelli, Brand and Creative Marketing Manager, both from our good friends at Hughes Federal Credit Union. Good morning again to both of you.
Good morning.
Good morning.
We were talking about your partnership with the University of Arizona and the debit cards, which are the most visible part of that probably, and all the things that you do down at the university to support college athletics and to support the community. But there's also an important side of what you do. You help students at the University of Arizona and other places fund their college scholarship activity that they do on campus. So college affordability is always at the top of mind for students and families. How does Hughes help people get to the U of A and make education more accessible?
At Hughes, it's important for us to help our members achieve their dreams. That's why we offer an annual scholarship opportunity. It's called the Roberta Reeves Memorial Scholarship. It's named after a longstanding, dedicated board member at Hughes. This scholarship supports local students as they transition into higher education. And in fact, this year we celebrated 20 years of the Roberta Reeves Memorial Scholarship, upping the award amount to $20,000,
wow.
Which actually meant three additional students received $2,000 this year. We've given nearly $150,000 in scholarships in the last two decades alone. So this has been amazing.
That's an amazing statistic. You know, you affect people's life one student at a time. And if you can make a difference in one person's life, then they go on to get a job at Hughes Federal Credit Union like you, Madison, and they mm-hmm. stay in Tucson and they become active in our community. And that's a really powerful thing. You also support a program called Earn to Learn. We talked about that a little earlier in the summer on The Morning Voice. But give us a brief rundown of Earn to Learn and what that means. We hear commercials on the Morning Voice, too, for Earn to Learn. It's a really powerful program for young people. Tell us a little bit about that.
Mm-hmm. So Earn to Learn is an 8-to-1 match savings scholarship program for low to moderate income students. And based on that eligibility, students are accepted into the program and then they're able to open their Earn to Learn membership and savings account within Hughes. And students receive financial education from Hughes and build their savings to help pay for college expenses. And the goal is to ensure that students can achieve their educational dreams and have the knowledge they need to be successful after graduation. It's a really great program, and we're glad to be in partnership with them.
It is a great program. You know, we talked about student athletes and how important fiscal and monetary education and budgeting and all that is. These young people not had a lot of money in their life, and all of a sudden they get an NIL contract and they've got a lot of money and they need to figure out how to spend that wisely and not blow it all in the first 5 years and keep that over time. And so from the little guys who get Earn to Learn all the way up through the college athlete, it's important that all of us take some time to learn what we need to know about financial education. Our guests for success on The Morning Voice are Madison Edwards and Valerie Finelli. They're from Hughes Federal Credit Union. We're talking about how Hughes helps students at the University of Arizona, as well as supporting community activities like athletics. Beyond financial assistance, you're known as for this financial education that we've just talked about. How does that extend to the University of Arizona?
Well, in addition to Earn to Learn, we sponsor the University of Arizona Take Charge Cats and the Arizona Financial Face-Off. The Take Charge Cats are student ambassadors whose mission is to create financially informed youth. They provide financial literacy in Tucson area schools. Hughes loves supporting this program in the Take Charge Cats and their mission to reach as many youth as possible, because obviously that is one of our goals as well.
What a great program. It's a great program.
We have partnered with them to deliver financial literacy programming for youth for the last probably decade or so. The Financial Face-Off, though, is a Tucson High School student annual personal finance competition. It's open to all who participated in the Take Charge Cats personal finance workshops. Hughes has actually sponsored this competition since 2006.
Okay, coming up on 20 years.
Yeah,
here.
That's coming up on 20 years.
That's pretty amazing. These financial literacy programs and financial education are so important for young people, specifically the little guys, but really important as well for those that are in college and are trying to make ends meet on a monthly basis and yet launch themselves into a career as they go. So taking on a student debt, but also trying to live at the same time, it's kind of an interesting process. And so this is good stuff. What's the most rewarding part of this partnership for you and your team at Hughes developing these programs?
Yes, so partnering with financial education programs like Earn to Learn and Take Charge Cats is incredibly rewarding because it gives students the tools to manage money confidently. We love knowing we're helping kids build skills that set them up for a lifetime of financial success. Another part is just being able to really impact our community, giving back where we're able to, because we're able to go in the community and see which parts of town really need the help or need financial education. So we're very fortunate to be able to step in and provide that to the Tucson community.
And that's part of that 73-year mission of building the community and doing good things in the community with your members, and having that be a powerful generator for you. Beyond the university, Valerie, what other initiatives or community programs is Hughes proud to be involved in right now?
Well, this year alone, we've spent nearly 60 hours providing financial education in our community. Madison is actually one of our reps that spends a lot of time in our area schools providing financial education. But it's also important for us to support other organizations in the community to improve the quality of life in Pima County and Southern Arizona. We support Junior Achievement, Banner Children's Hospital, United Way, Make-A-Wish, Angel Charity for Children, and a variety of local school districts as well. I mean, it's hard to put into words all the community organizations that we support, but it's a lot, and we love what we do.
I'll put a point of personal privilege in there. Hughes has been a sponsor for many years of the Ross Grouge Cougar Classic, buying advertising in the program, as well
Absolutely.
As helping us with the Coaches for Charity Kickoff Classic, which is a football program, and our MLK, really important MLK Basketball Classic, which happens, of course, on MLK Day. And
yes.
Hughes has been a real supporter of young people in athletics, which I think is a really important part of their development is growing in the athletic arena as well as academic. So for listeners who want to learn more about the work you do, what's the best way for them to contact Hughes?
So joining is easy. They are able to visit one of our 7 branches around town or head to HughesFCU.org. You can visit HughesFCU.org to learn more about our work in the community as well.
And you guys are always out there, always somewhere. We were just talking in the green room with Chris Edwards and others about 18 events that we have all been to together over the last couple of weeks. And it's amazing how many things go on in Tucson, especially this time of year. And in the spring, there's this couple of windows where there's just like 19 million events going on. And Hughes is always a big part of those events. And we appreciate what you do for the community.
We're fortunate to have a great group in our marketing department. When we can't fill an entire table because there's so many events, we're trying to make the most of someone is at one event and some are at another event because we feel they're all important and we want to make sure that we're supporting as many as we possibly can.
Put me on the short list for invite when you need somebody. I just enjoy going to a lot of these community organizations. One of the benefits of running for mayor was to see so many good things happening throughout Tucson in community work that people have been doing over the years. And certainly Hughes Federal Credit Union has been one of the big supporters of many of these really important charities that do the heavy lifting of the things that we do to make our community great and make Tucson great. And you do a great job of supporting the Morning Voice and helping us spread the word about the good things going on at the University of Arizona. We call that Wonder, and we thank you for your sponsorship of that. And we're going to have you back in a couple of weeks to talk about another initiative that's happening at Hughes Federal Credit Union. You are always welcome on the show. We love to have you here, and we appreciate your partnership.
Well, thank you. It's an important partnership to us.
Yeah, and it's great that you're a former student at the U of A.
That's right.
And that I still say that you and I ran into each other at the U of
A.
We
must have. Yeah, you look very familiar, too.
So
I know. Who knew 5 years ago when I was a student, we'd be sitting across from each other?
I know. That's pretty amazing. 5 years ago. I love that. Yeah. I hate to tell you, I've been at the U of A for 3.5 decades, so it's been a long time. And it's been one of the most enjoyable rides of my life, so it's been great. Well, thanks for joining us on The Morning Voice for Business Success Story. Thank you, Madison Edwards and Valerie Finelli from Hughes Federal Credit Union, for being with us this morning. We'll be back with Wonder from the University of Arizona after the break. And you're listening to KVOI 1030 AM The Voice. And this is Business Success Stories from The Morning Voice. And if you haven't got your U of A debit card with a big block A on it or one of those beautiful pictures that's on there, you need to go to one of the 7 locations of Hughes Federal Credit Union and get yourself connected to the University of Arizona and start putting away some money for the future, which is an important part of what you do, that financial literacy. And if you have a little guy or grandkids,
Start early.
Mm-hmm. Get them in there early and get them into Hughes and get them to develop those good spending habits and using that card wisely.
Well, at Hughes, we also, on our website, we have something called Money Coach for Kids. So we have some great programs for kids to learn how to save.
Well, thank you so much for being here this morning. And thank you all for listening. We'll be back after the break with Wonder, with good stories from the University of Arizona. Good morning and welcome to The Morning Voice. This is Wonder, where we talk about the good things going on at the University of Arizona. Matt and I are going to be at a wonderful place tomorrow starting at 8:30. We're going to be at the Bear Down Bash right north of the stadium. That'll be kind of fun, won't it?
Correct. Yes, indeed.
Roger Klein will be there.
Roger Klein, that's right.
Yeah, he called me and said, Ed, are you coming? I said, absolutely.
Okay.
So, yeah, you know, I'm so tight with Roger Klein, you know. He and I are...
We went to the same high school at different times.
Different times, yeah. That is pretty funny. You did, didn't you? Yeah, it should be fun. And then the game tomorrow starts at noon. It's going to be... I'm in the sun the entire time. I might come up and visit you and your bird's nest up there where you get some shade. I'm going to be in the sun the entire game, so... It'll be good though. So I'm bringing my hat. I'm bringing my cowboy hat.
Yeah, hat's a good idea.
Yeah. So looking forward to seeing how we do at home.
Busy weekend in sports. You got the Red Blue tonight. You got the DJ Tom E.
Right.
And Shaq and everything at Bear Down Field tonight.
Right.
So it's a busy. And then I think there's a volleyball game. So there is all sorts of sports going on.
The baseball fiesta is going on at Keene.
That's
too.
Right. Yeah. And U of A is playing in that as well.
Right. They are
as one of the teams.
Chip Hale's team. Yep. Right. Yeah. That's great. So this is The Morning Voice, where we talk about the good things on Friday. We talk about Wonder, things going on at the University of Arizona. And this is sponsored by Caruso's Italian Restaurant on 4th Avenue. It was just there yesterday evening, walked in the door, and what a wonderful smell. We were just talking to Steve Anderson about delicious, think about positive smells. Just walking into Caruso's just is amazing. The garlic and it's wonderful. And our other sponsor, we just heard from them, Hughes Federal Credit Union. They've been a great sponsor, and we appreciate all they do for the community. This morning, we welcome a couple of students from the Eller College of Management. Audrey Pitzer, good morning, Audrey.
Good morning.
Thank you for being here bright and early in the morning.
Yeah, thank you for having us.
And Zach Martinelli, good morning to you, sir.
Good morning. Yeah, thank you for having us.
So who's your favorite teacher at the University of Arizona? That's my question.
I guess it will have to be Ed Ackerley.
Okay, well, Professor Ackerley, no question.
These two young people are part of an interesting thing that we do. We had in the Eller College students that are marketing majors can take a class that I teach. I've taught it for now about 35 years. It's called Applied Advertising. And so, Audrey, tell us a little bit about this class. So you're the leader of the class. So tell us what we're doing in Applied Advertising.
Yeah, so currently in Applied Advertising, we kind of simulate a advertising agency. So we break up into five different departments. We have a press release department or PR department, a marketing department, operations, and a creative team. And then we all break up and work on different activities. And currently we are helping bring awareness to Base Camp for Veterans.
So, yeah. Zach, tell us a little bit about what Base Camp for Veterans is. Deborah Plum and Theo Windisch, what do they got going on and what have they asked us to help them do?
Yeah, so Base Camp for Veterans is located at White Stallion Ranch. And really what it is equine-assisted therapy. I say therapy in quotation marks because really it gives veterans the opportunity to work directly with wild and trained horses. And it's veterans that are post-combat who might be struggling. And what Deborah has allowed them to do is go to White Stallion Ranch, work with these horses, and it really just turns them into better people. And it's a really cool experience. We had the opportunity to talk with Deborah a little bit at the start of the project and to really just hear her passion about what they have going on at VCI was really cool and got us motivated for the project.
So give us the trajectory, Audrey, of what the team is doing. So obviously you have a challenge, a real-world challenge that a client is asking for some help, and then you're taking the team and moving them in a direction. Tell us kind of what you have planned for the semester.
Yeah, so currently just yesterday, we kind of started really making progress on what we really want to do this semester. On December 2nd, we have an activation event where we're going to really try to bring people together and bring that awareness about BCI. And then throughout the semester, we're going to be posting posters at different places, hopefully updating social media, websites, really working with that creatively and just really trying to.
And you've created some partnerships. So talk a little bit about the Vet Center and talk a little bit of maybe we'll just give a shout out to Jason if he's listening and we haven't nailed this down yet, but some community partnerships with some restaurants and so forth. So tell us about your relationship with the ROTC program and the Vets program on campus.
Yeah, so the Vets program on campus, we had the opportunity, me and one of the other directors, Jack, we went to meet with Blaze, and he is one of the head people there. And we had the opportunity to talk to him, see what we could do participating with them. We think we're going to table at the U of A Veterans Homecoming Game, Military
Appreciation
Day. And so get to work with them a little bit and really work with the ROTC and spread awareness that way. And then we're hoping to partner with possibly some Tucson local restaurants to have our activation event on December 2nd.
Right, fantastic. So that's kind of a neat thing. So you're one of the directors, and Zach, and you are overseeing the public relations side of things. So how was the sense of having a challenge of trying to develop press releases and stories and feeders and so forth with a group of a couple of people in your little department, but yet all 20 students are working on this together. You got some actual stakes in this. There's some skin in the game here. How does that feel?
It's a really cool opportunity to obviously communicate with media outlets about a real issue. You know, to act as an actual ad agency is just a really cool opportunity because usually in other classes, it'll be like, a simulation. Mm-hmm. But in this class, we actually get to do it. And we actually get to say, hey, this is who we are. This is what we're doing in class. This is what we're doing for Base Camp for Veterans. This is our partnership. And it's been a really cool opportunity to just kind of communicate with, yes, our school sources, but also outside sources and just kind of build partnerships with people so that we can tell them, yeah, just basically what we're doing, what Base Camp for Veterans is and why it's important.
Our guest this morning on Wonder on The Morning Voice are Audrey Pitzer and Zach Martinelli from the Eller College of Management, Marketing 425 Applied Advertising class. So, Audrey, a little bit more about Basecamp for Veterans. We're talking about the veteran who goes away and comes back and has some things to work through, and so the equine wellness program is helping them. But what's unique about the BCI program is the family involvement. Tell us a little bit about how you're addressing how the families are involved in this program. And you're going to go see it in a couple of weeks. You're actually going to go see some of this take on a life of its own. But tell us a little bit about that.
Yeah, so something that's really special about BCI is that they actually really incorporate the families into the program. Veterans, when they come home, often, you know, struggle to feel back to home or get back into their normal routine. And so it's a really great opportunity to make them feel like they're all working together and they all get to participate and make it feel as normal as possible. And so, yeah.
Okay. So Zach, when Deborah came into class, and then of course her partner is Theo Windisch, he didn't come in yet, but he'll be coming in soon. He is a therapist, so he has the credentials for that side of the thing. And Deborah is the general manager of White Stallion Ranch, so she has the other side of the house, the operations and the horses and the place to stay and so forth. When you heard, and then you guys also met, some of your representatives met with the young lady that's doing the digital footprint and all the social media and so forth. So what is your take on the challenges, the goals and challenges of what the client wants, what Deborah and Theo want? What are you thinking that the challenge is that they've given to you?
Yeah, well, I think the challenge is simply just spreading awareness for BCI. And I know specifically Deborah listed out some of the things that she wanted to see as far as outreach with such things like the website. She wanted to see improvement with social media. But overall, just getting outlets, getting things to the broader community so that we can say, hey, this is what Basecamp for Veterans is doing. And just reaching out that way. I feel, in my opinion, like what success would look like for this. Like if we can get one veteran say, hey, this is for me. I should be a part of this. I want to be a part of Basecamp for Veterans. That's a huge success. I feel like we won, in my opinion. So
that's a great perspective. You know, and this is a customized program. There's only 4, 5, 6 people at a time that go through this program, and so it's if you can get one more, that's and save a life. Basically, is what you're doing right. In this regard. So you had a brainstorming session, a couple of them so far, but and you keep kind of coming up with ideas. At what point, you're going to do some research, and you have done some research, but at what point do you stop doing research? I mean, you always do research throughout the whole campaign, but when do you stop brainstorming and stop thinking about what you're going to do and then pick what you're going to do and go for it? How does that work?
Yeah, I think we finally hit the turning point yesterday of actually taking our ideas that we've done research, looking into where might support this and where we might be able to broadcast our announcement about what BCI is, and now we solidified what ideas we're hoping to pursue, and now we can actually start tackling them and contacting different people to make it happen. So I would say yesterday was our biggest turning point.
You both were elected by your peers in the class to be leaders of this little program. So Zach, tell me a little bit about what it's like being the PR director in a little agency and trying to do this work. It's kind of fun to try and motivate your peers to do some fun things, right?
Yeah, it is really fun. I know one of my team members is actively involved in like a PR magazine, so that's really cool to just kind of be able to spread not only my knowledge, my experience with working in kind of a PR company, but also gain from my teammates, because I feel like, you know, we're all in this class together, we're all learning. So I just think picking up not only me just saying, hey, like, let's do this, but also gathering their ideas and combining it into one big one. And I think one of the most impressive things about my team is how we've each been able to come up with our own outlets to reach out to, or our own ideas for press releases, and really just come up with our own thoughts and kind of accumulate it into one. So hopefully in this next coming week, we'll be able to have that be in action. We'll be able to see that soon. So yeah, I'm just looking forward to that, excited about it.
And you have a double-pronged approach. You're doing two things at the same time. You're telling media and the community what you're learning in applied advertising. So it's about what the class is doing. And then you're also trying to garner some earned media about BCI and what the goals you're trying to reach for them. So you're trying to do two things at the same time, and have some media outlets might be interested in how students are getting hands-on practical learning, and some outlets might want to talk about the BCI side of it and how veterans are getting helped by the program. So it's kind of a, you've got kind of a dual role there, trying to get a little coverage from both. Let's take a quick break. When we come back, we'll talk to Audrey and Zach a little bit more about what's going on with BCI at the University of Arizona. Our sponsors for Wonder are Hughes Federal Credit Union and Caruso's Italian Restaurant on Historic 4th Avenue. And you're listening to The Morning Voice. Welcome back to The Morning Voice. This is Wonder, where we talk about the good things going on at the University of Arizona. Our guests this morning are Audrey Pitzer and Zach Martinelli from the Eller College of Management at the University of Arizona. And I'm Dr. Ed Ackerley, along with Bill Ackerley and Matt Neely. On Fridays, we talk about the good things going on at the U of A. We call it Wonder, sponsored by Caruso's Italian Restaurant on 4th Avenue and Hughes Federal Credit Union. So we got an event coming up on December 2nd, so that's kind of the target for the applied advertising class for BCI. And where'd that date come from? Okay, I put it in the syllabus. But why do you think I put a date certain that we're going to do this on this date? And why do you think that we have this date certain? Why do you think I do that as a teacher to try and force you to do something?
I think it really just sets in stone that something has to happen by then, or that day something has to happen. So you just have you can plan accordingly up to that day. I would say that's probably why you do it for us.
I do. Otherwise, we'd still be thinking about when,
exactly,
where, what, who, how, whatever. So we plug in these dates so that, and then we know that 2 days later, we're going to do a presentation to the client and say, this is the challenge that you gave us. This is what we thought about. This is what we researched. This is what we came to conclusion that we were going to do. We did some more research. This is the activation that we had. These are the results that we had, and here's our recommendations. Mm-hmm. And so that's kind of a neat process for a client like BCI, who, you know, they're in their 11th class now, so they've been doing this several years. But what's the biggest room in the world? Room for improvement. We can always get better at what we do. So what do you think, Zach? You talked a little bit about getting that one veteran or that one family to kind of sign up. But we also you're charged with, all of us are charged with getting some more awareness for BCI. And so listeners who are listening who have nobody in the military, aren't military families or whatever, we still want to tell them about BCI and what an important thing it is for the people that are participating, right?
Yeah, absolutely. I think BCI is important because I would go just based off their mission statement. You know, they're all for veterans. Like, their mission and goal is to help all veterans, mm-hmm. Which I think is a really cool opportunity. And as we mentioned before, with families and everything, I think that's what really sets apart their program from everyone else, because a lot of different programs, they're going to try and, I guess, pull the veterans away from their family, kind of mm-hmm. get them isolated by themselves. Mm-hmm. But what VCI does, they want the family there. They encourage to have veterans bring their families, so that they can also kind of mend the bond between their families as well. So instead of just one veteran winning, it's a whole family winning and a whole family just being better.
And a shout out to Russell and Michael True and the True family and their wives. And Deborah's the general manager out there. They donate hundreds of thousands of dollars over the last couple of years of room and board. And the people are out there for a week and are learning how to come back together as a family. And it's kind of a neat experience. So, Audrey, you're the leader of this esteemed group of 20 students, and you're like the agency director, and you're in charge. On Thursdays, I sit and drink a cup of coffee and watch you do your thing, and I teach on Tuesdays. I am teaching on Thursdays, but you're in charge of it. What's the biggest challenge so far for you as a young person who's in charge of this? And I just, as a point of personal privilege, I tapped you to be the president of the ad team as well, so you're also doing a big project for us for the National Student Advertising Competition. So what's it like being in leadership and running a couple of organizations?
It's definitely a great experience. Lot of opportunity to grow as a person and in professional world and just personally. I think one of the most challenging things is just knowing what to get up there and say. And when you don't really know what's going on, it's like, okay, how do I lead someone when I don't know exactly what we need to do next? But I think as time has gone on, I've gotten better at it, and I hope that it's working for the class. But
yeah, I think they respect you and it's going well. I saw you yesterday going around to the different departments, and they, you know, show you stuff, and mm-hmm. they respect the fact that you stepped up and said that you would do this. And, you know, it's a little bit of an extra burden on you because you got to prepare and think about this at times when they don't have to. And so taking on that role is an important thing. And so leadership is a really good skill that you'll get out of this to try and do that. And I keep telling you, delegate, 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 delegate. You don't have to do everything yourself. Try to get your other directors to do their part. And then, like I was saying yesterday, just because, say, marketing is doing a research study, it's not that those five or seven students are doing the research study. We're all doing it together. They're just managing it, and you're managing the managers. So it's kind of an interesting process.
I think all of them are doing, all the advisor or directors are doing a really good job as
So what's been surprising for you, Zach, when you're working on these on this project? And first off, probably a surprise that they elected you as the PR director. But
yeah.
Has there been anything interesting that's come up that's like, wow, that's kind of cool? Obviously, you're engaged in the process. And
yeah, absolutely.
I see you really engaged in class. So.
Yeah, I think one of the most surprising things about the project has been, well, I think honestly going back to our challenge of just finding outlets to reach out to, I think that would definitely be our biggest challenge of just being like taken seriously as students.
Right.
You know, a lot of people are like, oh, you're just taking this as like a class project. Mm-hmm. Like you just need us to like give you credit for something. So that I think our X factor is going to be Basecamp for Veterans, just their mission. Right. Who they are as a company, because that's really our buy-in. You know, we can always say, oh, we're students, we're in Eller, we're, you know, we're trying really hard in school. But I think saying, hey, you know, we're partnering with Basecamp for Veterans because this is important. Their company matters, veterans matter, and we just want to drive their mission overall. Mm-hmm. So I think using their mission to our advantage to help reach out to outlets has been our biggest X factor and honestly one of the most interesting things about the project as well.
Right. You know, even the fact that you're working with the U of A Athletic Department, which obviously has a lot on their plate, especially for homecoming and the whole Military Appreciation Weekend and so forth. Here comes a couple of people from the Eller College asking to put up a table and do some things. They got 9 million other things to think about, but you're making headway in that regard, and hopefully that'll work out, and you get to learn how to talk to people and make it important to them
yes,
as well.
Yes, definitely. Yeah.
Who knows? Maybe we'll be up on the big screen. You never know. You never know what the athletics will come up with for us. So
yeah.
It just depends on how well you guys sell the package. So
yeah. That's
great. Well, we talk about wonder here on this segment, and so I like to ask the guests during this time. By the way, I'm going to give you each a little present. Mickey Mouse was here. Disney on Ice is in town, so that crinkling you hear is Mickey Mouse ears Rice Krispie treats that they're going to take with them. But what's one thing at the University of Arizona that you think is full of wonder? Anything that you like or think is great? You don't have to mention me. You don't have to say me. But what's one thing that's full of wonder?
I think one thing that is full of wonder, I don't even know if this is necessarily a thing, but I would say the class projects that Eller holds has been the most valuable thing to my academic experience, because in work, we're all going to be working with people. And I think one thing that I've learned from not only your class, but a lot of other classes in Eller as well, is how to work with people, how to communicate with people, how to build a team, how to collaborate, how to come up with new ideas, how to take in other ideas, and really just how to handle that and present them, which we're obviously doing on December 4th,
right,
has been the most valuable thing to me and has definitely expanded my wonder for sure.
That's great. How about you, Audrey?
Absolutely. I would definitely agree with what Zach said. And just on top of that, just everybody that's at the school has so much wonder. Everyone comes from such different backgrounds, and it's really cool to see everybody coming together and what they're hoping to pursue in their lifetime and what you can really take from the university and give back to the community with what you've learned.
You guys are at the tail end of your college academic career. You got another, basically most of the students in class have another semester, and then they'll graduate in May for the most part. Most of them be doing that. And I like to admonish my students at this stage of their life to finish their college degree strong. It's tempting to kind of put yourself in your next job and moving back to home or to the new city that you're going to live in, or stay here in Tucson and start a business. It's sometimes we get ahead of ourselves, and I say, man, make sure you finish strong here at the U of A. And so you guys are good examples of that. You're doing great work, and we appreciate you. Special thanks to our guests this morning for Wonder, Audrey Pitzer and Zach Martinelli from the Eller College of Management at the University of Arizona. We'll be back after the break with the second half of Wonder, sponsored by Caruso's Italian Restaurant and Hughes Federal Credit Union. Thank you guys for coming in.
Thanks for having us.
We'll see you Tuesday. You're listening to The Morning Voice. Welcome back to The Morning Voice. I am your host, Dr. Ed Ackerley, and Bill Ackerley's with me, and Matt Neely's over there doing a great job as usual. Thank you, Matt. We'll see you tomorrow morning at 8:30 at Bear Down Field. The Morning Voice will be there. KVOI will be there. Bustos Media, right before the football game from 8:30 to 11:30-ish. And then Roger Klein will be performing as well. So it's a Hispanic Heritage Day. There'll be some great stuff going on the field with mariachi and the Pride of Arizona during halftime. It's going to be an exciting, colorful, very colorful weekend. And we're going to get our first home victory against a Big 12 school. So that's going to be fantastic. So, well, season in the season. We did play Big 12 school, but it was not part of our actual season, right?
Non-conference game, as they treated it.
So, our guest for Wonder is Dr. Melody Buckner. She's Associate Vice Provost for Digital Learning and Online Initiatives and the University Center for Assessment, Teaching, and Technology, fondly referred to as UCAT, and Associate Professor of Practice. So welcome, Dr. Buckner. Thank you for being here.
Thank you for inviting me.
So we were in a meeting with the provost the other day, and she was doing a listening tour as a new provost, and she's doing great, by the way. She's really connecting with the community and learning what she needs to learn in order for her to be effective. She's the chief academic officer at the U of A underneath the president, and they're cohorts in crime. They both came from University of Vermont, and he was president before he came here. She took over for him as president. Now she's here as his main assistant as the provost. So you work in that area, and you're the associate vice provost. Tell us a little bit about that and about your journey and how you became a digital storyteller.
Okay, great. Thank you. Thank you for inviting me today. I think we were in that meeting with Patty, the provost,
right,
which is how we met, and I agreed to come on to this show today. I do see.
Yeah, I did a commercial. Did I not do a commercial in front of all those people and said, hey, if you want to come on my show and tell your story, let's make it happen? Yeah.
That's right. And I think a lot of us volunteered for that.
Right.
So I'm happy to be here today. I do sit in the provost's office. UCAT is the Teaching and Learning Center of the University of Arizona. So it's where a lot
really
of
really important.
Really important. It's where faculty development happens that really plays into student success.
Mm-hmm.
And we have a couple of different teams that really help faculty. I want to give a shout out to all of my teams. We have six teams from multimedia to instructional design to instructional technology to professional development, educational development, and even to assessment. I hope I didn't miss anybody there, but everybody really contributes to helping out, making our faculty, preparing our faculty for student success, mm-hmm, and for being successful in the classroom. My journey is kind of interesting. I always say that I am an Arizona Board of Regents dream because my first degree is from ASU. Right. I have a degree in architecture, undergraduate degree. Then I went on to NAU, where I got my master's in educational technology. And then save the best for last, mm-hmm, at the University of Arizona, where I got my PhD in language, reading, and culture, where I focused on digital literacies. So that was kind of my journey. I started at the U of A as an instructional designer. Now I oversee a team of instructional designers. Along the way, I helped with bringing on Arizona Online back in 2015. Then I stepped away for 3 years and was the dean of U of A South,
right,
which became CAST, the College of Applied Science and Technology, which is now merged with the College of Information Science. But this job is my sweet spot. I love that I get to work with faculty and students thinking about learning and really, you know, making that journey, that experience rich so that wherever they go in life, they'll be lifelong learners.
Yeah, it would be helpful if you were a little bit more passionate about what you're doing. You just seem to be so moderated in your response to this. I'm teasing because you're exuding excitement for what you do. So what excites you about the intersection of teaching, technology, and storytelling then? What is this, what does that make? Obviously, it lights you up, so why?
It does. And, you know, my whole dissertation was on storytelling. My first career, I was a 3D animator right out of school. Mm-hmm. So I learned about storytelling. I got to work with some Disney people and Pixar, and I learned the art of storytelling early in my career. And now I like to bring that into education. If you look at it and if you think about it, the first ways of learning were through storytelling. Mm-hmm. You remember your parents reading to you or your grandparents telling you stories about their lives. That's how we really started learning, is through storytelling. If you think about it, what you can recall is not so much memorizing facts and figures. It's the stories. We can remember a joke. We can remember a song. And we do that through storytelling. And there's a real art to storytelling. And I'm real passionate about it because that's really the foundations of learning. And then we add technology to it, mm-hmm. and it adds a whole new dimension. I mean, we live in a world that is full of technology, and our students are so engaged in technology that this multimodal ways of bringing that to life is really exciting for me.
We just had this conversation yesterday in one of my classes. You know, one of the tenets of the Eller College is to make sure that we're in all of our classes touching on AI as a regular part of what we're doing, and you know, not shying away from it, hitting it head on and making sure that we're addressing it. But to your point, my students, when they were going around, they were doing little presentations, and then we had a discussion afterwards. To a point, they came right back to what you just said, that AI can help us with facts and figures and speed and all that, but it's the storytelling that it's so valuable and so human.
That's
where the emotion comes from, and that's the power of being a human being, is the ability to think and articulate those dreams and those ideas.
That's absolutely right. And we can use AI. I wondered how long we would be into this interview before AI picked up. And it wasn't very long.
Right,
so that
right.
is something that's very much on the forefront. And we don't want AI to dehumanize us.
Right.
We want AI to help us, to be a
right.
support. But ultimately, we want to retain that humanist that we are, and that, you know, bringing in our brains and our minds
right.
into it, so that it's a richer experience instead of taking away
yeah.
from it.
What I tell my students is that AI and a computer and a phone and a screwdriver and a hammer, those are just tools.
Yes.
They're just tools. It still comes down to the human mind, the human experience, the human emotion, the human storytelling. It all comes back to us as in our human existence. And those tools are really helpful to help us engage that maybe faster, quicker, stronger, better. But it still comes down to that human element, which is really the most important element of all.
I love that you're talking about that with your students in that
yeah,
way.
I do. Well, they need to hear it from a guy that's been in the business for 50 years. that it's all. People ask me what I do for a living, and I say, you know, they want me to say I sell radio time. I am a radio host. I'm in the relationship business.
Exactly.
That's what I do, is I just build relationships and try to keep them alive. And that's what we do as human beings. So talk a little bit about creativity. You know, you yourself are a digital storyteller and so forth, and you've had some good experience in that. Tell us a little bit about your view of creativity and collaboration in that realm.
Yeah, so I'm actually going to talk about digital makerspaces and how
right.
we make this available to students.
Correct.
So I think that's one thing that AI, even though it does creative things, it's not the catalyst for the creativity. That's
mm-hmm.
the human.
Mm-hmm.
And so I think it was about nine or 10 years ago, we became an Adobe Creative Campus. And that,
yes, thank you, by the way. Yeah.
Yes. So we allow Adobe products for all of our faculty, staff, mm-hmm. and students. They get the whole Creative Cloud suite. This includes Photoshop, Illustrator, Premiere Pro, and a lot of other things. When this happened, again, going back to the relationship 9 years ago, I said to senior leadership, great, I'm so happy we have the software, but I need a human.
Right.
And they allowed me to hire a human. I hired someone that really oversaw our Adobe, our creative curriculum, if you want to say it in that way. Now I have three. I have three folks, incredible individuals that came from the classroom. And they really know how to teach. They know how to work with all of these creative tools. And we created a digital makerspace. Spaces. These spaces, we collaborate with colleges, with the libraries, the Honors College, SBS in journalism, and Norton School. We also have mm-hmm. a digital makerspace. We're looking at opening one up in fine arts now. And we collaborate with the colleges because that's where the students are.
Mm-hmm.
And in each of these spaces, we have checkouts so students can check out equipment. This is state-of-the-art equipment. It's cameras, it's sound equipment, it's lights, so that they can actually do the stuff on their own. But also each space is set up for that college. So with the Norton School, they're actually doing digital twinning for their retailing. So we set up a whole environment just for students to come in and be creative. The best part about this, it's students helping students. So we hire a whole student workforce that really goes in and helps students help their peers learn about this. This also sets those students up for their first career because now they have some work experience in the creative field.
And these are called digital maker spaces, right?
They are.
And up to about six now, so it's going to be, and you're kind of expand in other places if you can, if the colleges need it, then as funding makes its way available, this is something that's really cool. And this does involve AI and all the other, whatever the new tool is that comes along, incorporate that into what you're doing. So that's kind of cool. Let's take a quick break and we'll come back. We'll talk a little bit more about your Fulbright to India and a couple other exciting things about you personally. Our guest for Wonder is Melanie Bruckner. She is Associate Vice Provost for Digital Learning and Online Initiatives at the University of Arizona, and you're listening to The Morning Voice. Welcome back to The Morning Voice. We're going to take a day off tomorrow, Matt, and we're going to go to a football game, and we're going to go to a tailgate party at 8:30.
How about that?
Bear Down Bash. We'll be there with the Bustos Media, and I'll be there, and Matt will be there. And
the Groove will be there. Poderosa, Urbana, it'll be a big event, and Roger Klein. And Roger Klein's excited that he gets to be there with The Morning Voice.
Yeah.
So it's
yeah, there you go. Yeah, I'm sure he said that, yeah, when you went to different high schools together. Hey, you're listening to The Morning Voice, and this is Wonder, where we talk about the good things going on at the University of Arizona, sponsored by our good friends at Hughes Federal Credit Union, who were just on a little while ago. Yeah, wonderful, wonderful people in helping us sponsor the Wonder program. And we also have a great, I was just there yesterday, Caruso's Italian Restaurant on 4th Avenue, been in business for 93 years. And one of the gentlemen that owned it has passed away now, but he was a 40-year professor at the University of Arizona and a wonderful, wonderful man, and his family is still running it. And we want to give you, Dr. Buckner, a gift certificate to Caruso's and take your family down there and have some fun down at Caruso's. Our guest is Dr. Melanie Bruckner. She is Associate Vice Provost for Digital Learning and Online Initiatives. Let's talk just a little bit about your Fulbright to India. You got to do something pretty exciting. Congratulations on that. And tell us a little bit about that story.
Yeah, I was really honored to be chosen as a Fulbright scholar. This was a special kind of Fulbright for administrators. So it was only a two-week Fulbright in India, and I went all over the country. We were in Mumbai, which is the West Coast, kind of thinking about California. So when you think about India, it's very diverse, like the United States. So we were in Mumbai. It was the Bollywood kind of vibe. Then we went down to Coimbatore in the south, more like the mid part of our country or the southern part of our country. And then I got to go up to New Delhi, which is like Washington, D.C. or New York City.
Right.
And on this Fulbright, I got to visit 14 institutions from the IITs, which are like our Ivies, through the, privates, publics, community colleges, all types of flavors of higher education. And we got to meet with their administrators, with their faculty, and with their students. And it was such a heartwarming experience. First, the food was amazing. Mm-hmm. I never picked up salt and pepper during my whole experience there. The food was so flavorful, and I never got sick. People were like, oh, didn't you get the Delhi belly? And I'm like, never got the Delhi belly. So I really embraced the food, the people, the culture, and it was interesting to learn about their education system. And I went there kind of looking about what they were doing with online education, because that's kind of my thing, and what they were doing with digital learning. And what I found is something we were talking about over the break. It's much more relational than it is technology in India, which kind of surprised me. But they were, when students in India go to university, it's almost like their whole family goes to university. And they really want their students to connect with their professors and connect with their students. And they kind of shy away a little bit from the technology in things of like delivering content through online education. So that was a little bit of a surprise for me. But overall, it was a fantastic experience.
So digital storytelling and studying abroad and so forth, those things all kind of converge together, and you've been able to kind of do two things at the same time. One, teach and administrate over the people that are helping with Adobe and with the spaces, but then also your own craft of storytelling is you're allowing yourself to do some of that as well. And that's kind of a nice experience, isn't it?
It really is. It really is. I enjoy that. I enjoy that. You know, I kind of fell into this study abroad and digital storytelling because that was my dissertation. I used to sit long ago in the outreach college, right. And right next to me was a study abroad office. Mm-hmm. And students would come in from their study abroad experiences, and they would be so excited to tell me their stories and show me their pictures, right. And then, you know, want to tell me about the food, just like I right. did with you right. about India. And then I would say, so how were you assessed? How did your faculty assess your learning on your study abroad? All the joy. And they were like, oh, I had to write a paper. Right. Oh, I had to do a presentation. And it got me to thinking, what if these students for their assessment could actually do digital storytelling?
Tell a story, right?
Where they were telling about their learning outcomes through stories, through the food, through the culture, and the richness of it. I did a 4-year study, and it was amazing what I found. In doing the study, I went to Mexico and then Rwanda and Italy were the three locations that mm-hmm. We practiced, or I did my research. And it was just life. It was mind-blowing what my students could produce and how excited and engaged they were.
So you've just given me an idea. I've been teaching for 35 years in the Eller College. You just gave me a good idea. But if you could share one message with educators like me and students about the future of learning, what would it be?
The future of learning. I think, you know, as we talked about AI a little bit, and I think I don't know if any of you have been to Disney World and have ridden that new The Guardian of the Galaxy mm. ride. It's a fantastic ride that takes you starting out backwards and into this roller coaster where you're in the dark, you're up and down, you're sideways, and it's so exciting. The music is playing, everything is going. But you don't know where you're going, right? And so in a lot of ways, this is probably where we're going.
Right.
We're kind of, it's exciting.
We don't know where we're going, but it's fun.
It's fun. We also have to realize that everybody brings to the learning environment something.
That's
and
great.
We need to treasure that.
Special thanks to our guest for Wonder, Dr. Melody Bruckner, Associate Vice Provost for Digital Learning at the University of Arizona, sponsored by Caruso's Italian Restaurant and Hughes Federal Credit Union. Thank you, Matt. Thank you, Bill. See you at the tailgate tomorrow. This is The Morning Voice.